Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 36. We are here today with two favorite guests, actually, coming back to us, Jim and Lisa Burns. We're going to have a very interesting and enlightening discussion around having a retirement, or actually the strategy around retirement, and essentially having retirement assets doesn't mean you have a retirement strategy. So before we get into that topic, we would like to just take a pause. Muge and I are easing back into the 2024 year with more regular podcasts. We took a little bit of a break. So Muge is here with me today, and I'd like to just bring her on and talk a little bit about reflections from this past week. It was Valentine's Day. So was that a big day for your household? Just an everyday for your household? How did you guys celebrate there in Houston?
Well, hello, everyone. Happy New Year. This was an interesting time for me and my family because it was a confluence of multiple celebrations, and we have to celebrate everything. So we have Lunar New Year, we have Valentine's Day, and we also have Fat Tuesday. So how do we honor and celebrate all of those things? So we sequence them, and actually I'm going to highlight my emphasis on Lunar New Year celebration this year. And I am drawn to that because it's the year of the dragon, which symbolizes power, strength, and prosperity. And I am all about all of those things. So I had a chance to watch a line dance performance at the office, followed by excellent buffet of Asian food. And then I got into my Chinese zodiac sign, which I am monkey, which symbolizes energy, intelligence, confidence, occasionally bordering arrogance. I think that may be true. And then, of course, moved on to Valentine's. But I went all through that to say, it is just so fun to celebrate everything as much as you can, and also keep learning about other cultures' perspectives, and do that in a festive mood with good food.
I love it. I love that you were able to pack in three holidays in 1 week. That's awesome.
It was tough. Next day, I was suffering a little bit, but I am glad I did it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Here we only celebrated Valentine's Day, and my husband's always great about giving the obligatory flowers and a very nice card. And I'll say that he's great at writing his thoughts in a very heartfelt way, which I always appreciate. I like that actually more than the card. But what we did do is we signed up for salsa lessons. Oh. As a way to just, have a little bit more fun, learn a little bit. He's a very good polka dancer. That's the one dance he knows. So we're going to expand his repertoire with salsa dancing. So, yeah, so that's what we were up to. I'll have to tell you how it goes. It's 2 weeks' time. We're going to start these lessons, and it's only 4 weeks. I didn't sign up for anything that was too terrible, too long, but I think four lessons is plenty for both of us. So that's that. So
that's awesome. Looking forward to that. Maybe that's another episode. It's Thriving with Salsa. And other forms of dance expressions.
Exactly. I did buy the salsa shoes too, because I'm really going to need those after the four lessons. So I'll send you a picture of those bad boys. All right. So let's get into today's topic. I think there's so many of our listeners who are going to find this interesting. Many of us, I should say, have been super focused on the financial pieces, saving in the right way, trying to diversify. Before we get started, here's just a couple fun facts of what we're seeing out there in terms of research when we talk about retirement assets, savings, etc. A study by the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center found that only about one-third of Americans could correctly answer three basic questions about interest rates, inflation, risk diversification, which indicates a lot of us could learn a lot more, right? Secondly, according to the National Institute on Aging, a man reaching 65 today can expect to live on average until 84.3, while a woman turning 65 today can expect to live on average until 86.7 years of age. And we know that we continue to live longer, right? And with all of the advances, the way we're taking care of ourselves. So, you know, when you started out with a plan, you might want to always revisit that plan and think about, you know, are you on track for your savings? And then the last little stat, although 58% of retirees have a financial strategy for retirement, only 18% have it in writing. And a written financial plan is certainly essential and should be revisited. But, you know, having something very detailed that you're working and you're reviewing will put you in a better place for success. So with that, we've brought a couple experts back to the show, Jim Burns and Lisa Burns, who are managing a fantastic financial planning organization called Creative Financial. So Jim, welcome. Lisa, welcome. Say hello to the guest.
Thank you.
They're the listeners, I should say.
Thank you so much for having us back. We love being with you two. Retirement life is the way to go.
Thank you. All right. So Jim, why don't we start with you? Sure. Talk a little bit about retirement assets, what our listeners should think about, and we'll get the conversation started.
Sure. And thanks again for having us back. Your passion and energy and the two of you, it's such a pleasure. And we really look forward to this and get excited about it. Retirement assets are most people that Lisa and I will meet with, they have something. And that's a good thing. And those assets, I always think people think visually, if that makes sense. They'll think visually in their head. I always refer to what I call buckets, and people will have a number of different buckets when it comes to retirement. Example, they may have a company qualified plan, a 401k or a 403b or something of that nature, an IRA, a Roth IRA, a brokerage account with some type of investment in it, and even real estate holdings, a vacation home they may look at as an asset or an actual property that produces passive income. So all of these different assets or buckets, if you will, people have. The question I think becomes, how are they ultimately going to use these buckets, whether it be sequentially or at which asset when, to create a retirement income and subsequently a retirement income lifestyle? And when I meet with people and you talk about what are you doing, they're very proud, as they should be. Hey, I've built this account. I have this money. I'm saving this. I'm getting matching from my company. All good. But when we start to talk about, okay, how are you then going to pay yourself from these buckets? It causes pause, and sometimes the eyes kind of glaze over, and you could tell people just haven't thought that through. And that is a crucial piece that often is missed of an overall pie. Put on top of that, maybe one of the more important buckets, and I'm not going to answer this because we get this question all the time, is Social Security going to be there? Is it not going to be there? I don't know. That is the answer. I am counting on it. I plan on it for people when I do their retirement planning, but ultimately I don't have a crystal ball and can tell you. But Social Security is also another bucket that at least I feel needs to be managed for. Mm-hmm. And when you open up that box, it's what does it mean? And when do I take it? And what are the differences? And how's it get taxed? And all of those things combined create this retirement slash bucket strategy, all these assets together. And what we really enjoy doing in our practice is rolling our sleeves up, not only evaluating what people have, but then taking the conversation further into how does this play out and ultimately create retirement income for you and your family. And you made a phenomenal point. I love how you're a step ahead of us. People don't realize often that you are going to, I say this with confidence, I feel every individual is going to spend at least 20 years in retirement, pending, you know, that they get there. And I don't know if when we're young and they set us aside, everybody that we ask what their retirement age is, they always answer what? 65. Mm-hmm. I know how it gets in our head, but it always feels like it's 65. Well,
I like 55 better.
Yeah. Or 45.
I like 55 a lot better. I'm with you. When you ask a group, and I do this all the time, Lisa can attest, hey, what's retirement age? 65 is always the answer. Well, you mentioned earlier for as a male, 85 is life expectancy. So that's 20 years in retirement. Mm-hmm. That's income month in, month out, year in, year out to support a lifestyle. And I have never had a conversation with someone that'll say to me, I'll compromise my lifestyle in retirement. I'll take a step back in terms of income. You either want to maintain or exceed your income goals in retirement, but you've got to be prepared to use all these buckets and have a sound strategy based on assets you've grinded and worked so hard to build over your career to provide that income and to do it for a sustainable period in time. And it's hard. And if you don't start looking at it now and strategizing and putting it on paper and meeting on it regularly, you just jeopardize that lifestyle, which is so important. To get to that point and be comfortable and be able to not just survive, but thrive. That's the goal. Really enjoy your retirement.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting things to think about. I mean, there's people talk often about the 4% rule, right? Like take out 4% your first year. But if you're going to live 30 years, and you know potentially the later years are not going to be as active as the first 10 or 15 when you really want to be out there enjoying life and hopefully knock on wood, have no health issues and everything else. So what do you, I mean, are you, I guess you have to look at each individual case, right? And find out how many active years of retirement and spending are you thinking about in your individual situation, but the 4%, like, is that just old school thinking or people still looking at that as a guide?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And the answer is yes, there's many people we meet that will still use that kind of strategy, if you will, as you put it, as a guide. I think the key is have a guide, you know, have some kind of strategy on saving and accumulating individually through your company that leads to a point and time in your life where then you can turn around and create, again, the kind of lifestyle that you want and desire. And the only other thing I'll mention, because I know we're going to turn it over to Lisa in a second, that's important to consider, and this has been really the last 10 years, at least for me, the definition of retirement itself has changed. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what I mean by that. My grandfather, who I loved, is one of my heroes. His nickname was Tony I, and they called him that because for 45 years, he worked night shift at the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is a very known publication here in the Philadelphia area. And it was tough work, and he did it. It was night work. So think of night work for 45 years. When he retired, he was done. I remember my grandfather retired, and that was it. He did nothing else, and his working career was done. Today, most of the people that we will meet will say, I want to retire by this age, but that means that maybe I'm working only 3 days a week versus five, mm-hmm. because I need to continue to do something, mm-hmm. to stay active and energetic and passionate and even have a side hustle and still create some income. But I'm not going to work the way I've worked for the bulk of my career. And, you know, Jim, Lisa, if you could show me how I could have that income coming in from these sources, these buckets to support these other 2 days, and that buys us time, it's more valuable than anything else you could show or do for me.
Right.
So I think more and more people continue to do something. Now, does it mean you can't just completely stop? Of course not. You can do whatever you want. I just find more people are saying to us, hey, here's what retirement means to me. Mm-hmm. It means creating enough income coming in. I get my time back, and I'll still do something part-time a few days a week. And that's how I'd like to spend the next 10, 15, 20 years of my life. And if we could show them how to do that, give them that roadmap and help them, it's invaluable. And we enjoy doing that. We enjoy providing that kind of counsel and education and service to our clients.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before on our podcast, that some people have hobbies and passions that they're monetizing now. So yeah. May give them more time to do that and make it even more of a source of income, or just give you the flexibility. But to your point, planning with that income and then thinking about the whole big picture is really helpful.
Absolutely.
It is. And I think this cannot be understated enough. Jim, you mentioned, I think, some really big points. Even if you have the fortune of having assets, unwinding that is really hard psychologically and financially. It has tax implications. And when do you know how much to disperse by when? So that unwinding strategy is just as important as the accumulation strategy. And a lot of us are conditioned to save, invest, accumulate, and we don't spend a lot on the other side of the cycle. So I am curious to hear from you, Lisa, on, what are the key factors that would go into crafting that strategy for an individual specific situation? And I am also curious, complementary and alternative investment ideas, maybe a little less traditional, people should also be aware of, whether that be gold and cryptocurrency and investment in a startup. How do you go about creating that path for a given individual or family?
Well, one thing I do want to touch on that both Muga, you just brought up, and Jim as well, is what happens with people, and we've done many events, financial education events, one-to-many, one-to-one, and what we've found is that people have, like Jim said, they have their buckets, they have their accumulations, and then all of a sudden they step back and they kind of freeze, and an age or a life event has triggered them to kind of say, okay, I have my buckets, but now what? And a lot of times, unfortunately, it roadblocks people. And instead of sort of figuring out what the next step is and what the next procedure should be, they kind of say, let me cross my fingers and hope it all works out in the end, which we know that can't be a good strategy. So I think what Jim and I do, talking on sessions like this and going out and speaking in educational sessions, is to motivate people to say, okay, you've worked so hard, you've gotten this far, you've built your assets, now work with somebody. Take the time to start your roadmap. Ask yourself the key questions, what to start to build that plan. Key question like, and Jim can chime in here, but what's your retirement age goal? Pick the age and start, and then go backwards. You got to start somewhere. It can't be just willy-nilly and let's just have the plan in the head like Christine talked about before. Pick the age and let's fill in the blanks as we go along. Put it on paper. And start that roadmap and that journey. And Jim, what would you add to that? You start with the age.
I just think that along with, and remember, the age doesn't mean you're stopping. It just means this is when I'd like to have income start to come in. where I don't have to work as much, to keep it simple. I think along with that, to get people thinking and educating them, what do you want that income to be? So, you know, if you're making a certain amount of income now and that has created your current lifestyle, is that the same amount of income you want when you do hit retirement? Do you anticipate it more, less, because you're going to cut down some expenses? And the final piece along those lines are, and people a lot of times mentally, we kind of think when we get to retirement, I've had people say to me, oh yeah, I forgot I'm still going to have expenses when I'm retired. Yes, you are.
Right? Yeah.
Because we all want to get there. We've worked so hard throughout our careers. You have to make sure that individuals are taking the time to think about what is an anticipated expense model. It doesn't have to be exact. It'll certainly change, but food and entertainment and healthcare, remember healthcare? Yeah, all those things, they're going to be part of an expense model that you will carry into retirement. So when you get people just starting to think about those things, to Lisa's point, it takes the very broad approach and it just refines it down. So now they're educated enough to start to think and make good, sound decisions, not only current, but future, on how this is going to look. Is everything always subject to change? Of course, things happen all the time where your life could change and your plan could change. But if you start by putting it on paper with some basic goals and anticipated, you know, income and expense modeling, you'll at least have the beginnings of a roadmap that you can change along the way if necessary. That's a much better approach than, again, oh, you know, I hope when I get there, everything's going to work out great. To me, that's always what makes me nervous when we're dealing with someone, and that's kind of how they've looked at it. And you'd be surprised how many people do look at it that way, where they're just going to continue to work and grind and certainly make money, but just hope by the time they get to where they're older in age or they reach a certain goal in terms of retirement, now everything magically is ready to go. The other thing I want to mention, just to answer your question, is based on who I'm sitting across from, and one thing we didn't mention yet that I'll just chime in quickly, you can't talk about retirement without talking about investments. They're kind of like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, they just go together in the same sentence. So when I'm sitting with someone, okay, what we will do is we will actually have them complete a risk tolerance questionnaire. Mm-hmm. We want to get intimately familiar with the amount of risk they're willing to take on for a certain return that they want to strive for. And when I can understand that, then I can turn around and say, in addition to things you're doing, because like I said at the top, people are doing things, which is great, but additional investments, if someone is willing to, wants growth, if not aggressive growth, and is willing to take on risk to be able to attain that growth and has the proper time available. I'm a big fan of these crypto ETFs that just got approved. I think they're a good place to take potentially monies and look to make investments in if you're willing to take on aggressive growth and risk. If you are risk averse, if you're more moderate to conservative, there are a number of different very low-cost ETF bond portfolios, as an example, that you can create, which mix and match bonds and fixed instruments just to get more of a consistent, repetitive return. There's even vehicles available that pay a dividend-like return that's guaranteed and consistent over a long measured period in time. So I guess my overall point is, it's never cookie cutter. It's really understanding the person, identifying their risk tolerance and their investment style, tailoring it right into their retirement goals, and then making some kind of recommendation that they could always accept or reject. I'd like to say to people, we'll always make recommendations if we feel they're in the best interest of yourself and your family and they're prudent. You could always say yes or no, right? If you think it makes sense or if you think it doesn't make sense. But that's how we'll go about ultimately getting to the point where we can potentially make some recommendations for people. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, it's very, there are some guiding principles to consider, like you mentioned, your goals, your risk tolerance, and what do you want to achieve? But then those are all very specific and individual. I am also curious to hear from either you, Jim, or Lisa, since our last conversation, are there any laws or changes that our listeners should be aware of when it comes to distributions, investment strategies, tax laws, and different things that are important in to be aware of?
I think some of the more important things, and this has been a continuing trend, is that the amount of monies that can be contributed to different types of vehicles have steadily increased, and also have, if an individual is over 50, these catch-up provisions. Mm-hmm. So you can add more money based on being 50 years or older to an IRA or a Roth IRA. It just gives you the capability to sock more money away. For those that it would make sense for, gifting amounts have increased. Any individual can gift $18,000 per individual they want to gift to without having any kind of tax repercussions. That amount has increased steadily year after year. And probably it's not necessarily within the retirement investment bucket, but one of the biggest changes overall that's coming is the estate tax law changes. Right now, any individual can, the unified creditor shelter is $13 million per individual. And all that means, if you have an estate and you are under $13 million in your estate, or if you're married, $26 million, you're not subjected to estate taxes upon the second death and passing monies to a next generation. That law is sunsetting in 2026. And the unified credit is going from $13 million to $6 million the way it's written right now. It's a dramatic decrease in the amount that individuals can shelter and protect future generations from a tax standpoint. So there's a lot of individuals we're looking at now and just starting to prepare them. It seemed like it was so far in the distance, and here we are, it's 2 years away. Mm-hmm. So we're just educating people that, hey, may not be applicable to you, but if it is, this is coming. And it always depends on political administrations and who's in power and the way laws can change. But the way it's written right now, it's changing in 2026. So it's just kind of an FYI mm-hmm. for people to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing we touched upon earlier was just the psychological shift in taking out money. And I stumbled across substantially equal periodic payments. And I had never really even thought about that before when I was looking at things to talk about for this particular webcast. So it says that you can avoid early withdrawal penalties by setting up these distributions from your retirement account. Distributions must be taken in substantially equal payments based on life expectancy or a specific period, and the payments must continue for at least 5 years or until the account owner reaches 59 and a half. Have you heard of that?
I haven't. And you know what? You got me.
Oh, you
thank
stumped
you.
Him.
I knew there was a reason to come on this thing today.
Yeah, no, it says IRS Rule 72T. 72T.
Yeah.
Wow. All the way down to T, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I know what I'll be presenting to the next person I meet with. No, that's
and take Christine with you as your co-pilot.
Oh yeah, listen, Christine gets
co-pilot assistant.
Christine gets a percentage of that compensation.
Oh my God! Add it to the website. Right. You're getting on the website. You're part of our team now.
Excellent. I'm going deep tracks.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, all those things are just it's just super interesting. And I think your comments earlier too about risk, and I'm also seeing amongst some of my peers who have stepped out of corporate America and they're, you know, officially retired, but maybe they've got a little bit of a side hustle going. Mm-hmm. Many of them had a knee-jerk reaction to totally diversify their stocks. And they're young people. They're like 55 and 56. And I was like, man, are you sure you want to do that so fast? And then, you know, our Microsoft stock went from 365 to 415. I was just like, ouch, that must hurt. Anyway, so yeah, I just wonder, I guess it all comes down to, it's a balance. It's a balance, right? Between who you are, what you're willing to risk. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking for younger people, you might want to just stay in the stock market a little bit longer, right? You still have the opportunity to work. You still have the opportunity to get a job if you really need it. Something goes south.
And time is on your side if you're starting young, right? So that's what we try and drive home.
Right. And I'm saying young is 55.
Oh. Well, yeah, I also noticed, Christine, you keep moving that target. Like it used to be, you know. Now it's going to be 65. Why so young? You have another 50 years. Keep buying stock.
Just keep take the vitamins. We keep going to the gym. We'll be here forever, girls. Right. Come on.
That's replace some body parts. Yes, I think we can get there. I think we touched on this in our last conversation, but it is just so important. So you have a strategy tailored to your personal preferences. You have ability to accumulate and invest assets along those lines. But also the strategy about communicating it to the right people in your family and passing that on to your children or whoever you wish for it to go, that whole unpleasant potentially but necessary task of estate planning. What are your thoughts on that in terms of really making that part of your plan, not only while living, but, you know, passing it on to honor your wishes, all your life's work?
It's crucial. It's part of when we get hired, right? So we're hired for a fee to do planning. As part of that, I will always have, we call it a legacy meeting. And we have this legacy meeting with the parents, let's say they're the clients, and we bring all the kids in. And we sit down, and these are the most dramatic, the most stressful at times, but ultimately the best meetings I feel that we have with and for our clients, because everyone gathers around and we take the time to really go through the plan that we've done for mom and dad and what it means for the kids and often their kids. And I have never met with a set of parents that are clients that have said, don't worry, I'm just going to give more to Uncle Sam and less to my kids and grandkids. Right? They want to plan, and they want to get every nickel possible to their children and grandchildren and avoid taxation and the government as much as possible. And when you do that plan and then you lay it out to the family, it creates dialogue. It creates interaction. Sometimes it creates argument. Because people don't understand, or why him and not me, or her and not me. And at the end of the meeting, there's understanding, questions have been answered, concerns we hope have been addressed. It just gets everyone connected. Mom and dad feel great, because of the work they've done. And now everyone understands. And my general rule of thumb in those kinds of meetings is that if everybody pushes away from the table and feels a little pissed off, it was probably a really good deal for everyone, right? Because if one kid pushes away from the table and feels fantastic, it means somebody else feels horrible. So if everybody pushes away and feels a little pissed, I always say this is a great plan that mom and dad have put together. And it's selfishly and transparently, I will tell you, this legacy meeting has also helped me and Lisa create clients of that next generation.
Yep.
Uh, because there are staggering statistics out there on how many advisors do not get an opportunity to work with the next generation of clients, meaning their children, because either they haven't taken the time to meet with them, or they've kind of isolated the kids and only worked with the parents. This gives us that opportunity to create dialogue and relationships, and it has led us to making clients of many of the kids of existing clients. So now when that wealth does pass generation from one generation to the next, we want to be the people, the planners, the advisors that are now working with the kids. And it's helped us build and develop and grow and maintain those relationships. Because after these legacy meetings, everyone at the end is also just very thankful that we had it. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time. I understand, but I always wondered what my parents were doing. I've had children say to me privately, pull me aside. We were always afraid to kind of ask. It's a hard topic to talk to our parents about. And they feel really good and solid when we go through that exercise together. And for many clients, we do that minimally twice a year, where, you know, semi-annually, we'll sit down and we'll go through it. Even if the plan hasn't changed that much, we'll just come back to the table and review that again with the entire family. That legacy meeting is a very important meeting that just pulls everything together. And I enjoy having those very much.
I think probably this happened to us as well. When you look at where you are and what you want to accomplish, you may say, yes, I have enough where I can pass it on, arguably, or maybe it may even compel me to update my investment strategies so they are more optimized to create that intergenerational wealth. And it may give a moment of reckoning that says, yes, I have enough, I don't have enough, what does it mean? And sometimes maybe you don't need to pass anything on. So, but I mean, it's a good process to look at not only your current state, but what it means for your family. And on top of that, you know, what does it mean for the causes that you want to support? Perhaps that's also a consideration. So it's great to look at it. So I've got another question. And we, you know, our time is so quickly passing. What are ways by which would you recommend for people to monitor and adjust their strategies, right? We all know, unless you're a day trader, don't change every day. You know, what are good practices around that to make sure you are doing the right thing to cultivate and nurture that strategy?
Lisa, you want to take a shot at that, or you want me to answer?
Well, I would just say, if you're working with a financial professional, make sure that that individual is giving you what you need, that you're being heard, and you're getting the answers that you need. And I think, coming from a female and growing up, I'm 55 too, Christine, and you know, we kind of were told, well, you know, you're going to get married, and you know, you don't worry about your finances, and your husband will get a job, and maybe you'll get a job, and that finances was always sort of, family finances was left to the husbands. Well, what's happening now is, you know, divorce, widows, we're getting older, and all of a sudden we're left with a financial situation that we may not have the answers for, or know who to ask. So I think it's really important to make sure whoever you're working with, that they're speaking your language, that they're answering your questions, that you're leaving meetings knowing what the next step is. And I know Jim can talk about, you know, the how many times, four times a year that he'll meet with his clients, depending on their schedules. That's key. Keeping connected with your advisor, to making sure that your homework's being done, he's doing what he's supposed to do, he or she's doing what he's supposed to do. But that's one thing that I would make sure, that the communication is there on both ends.
First off, you're 55. You didn't tell me you were 55.
He always does
well,
that.
You also learned that you can manage the entire finances of the household.
No, Muge, again, another excellent question. When we get hired, part of hiring us, we get hired annually. So for a 12-month period. And we will guarantee and execute on 4 meetings over the course of that 12 months. And I think that kind of consistency and time and attention helps us to keep people on track, to answer their questions, to pivot if necessary. And the one thing I've learned over 30 years is that things change constantly. So if you're not meeting with clients, if I'm not meeting with clients with regularity, I'm behind, and something's going to change, or they're going to have a question or a concern. And I will tell you, and Lisa can attest to this, for many of the new client relationships that we've developed in our practice, she would know the statistic better than me, but I would say it's close to 75 or 80%. The reason they became clients for, or one of the reasons they became clients of ours, is they'll tell us, I haven't met with my advisor in a year and a half. You know, I haven't met with my advisor in two, I haven't heard from them in, and there's no consistency, there's no meetings, there's no follow-up, there's no follow-through, there's no execution. And sometimes people can get away with that when things are good, but then you have a 2022, right, where the market, you know, the wheels came off the wagon, the equity market was down, the fixed market was down historically, and people were like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And if their advisor or whomever was not working with them and meeting with them and communicating with them, to Lisa's point, all of a sudden they're looking for somebody different. So I think, you know, when we get hired, we take it very, very seriously to continue to meet with our clients. We have we meet 4 times a year face to face, but they know Lisa and I are available anytime for any reason. They can contact us, and you know, they are a priority, and we're going to do what we can, either answer their questions or get the answers if we don't know them. And that's how we operate. And that's, so again, if I didn't say it, it's never set it and forget it. It's never, oh, put a strategy in place and then, okay, everything. You have to be proactive, and you have to come back and continue to meet to make sure their goals are met and their priorities are their priorities are your priority. And that's how we focus. That's how we operate.
That's key. So we are having to move to the even more fun segment, but before we do that, Christine, any other key points you may have, or Lisa or Jim may have, to make sure we walk away with a mindset of preparedness and just really making the time for it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we covered so much, and I know it's even given me some things to think about. So to wrap it up, you know, make sure you are thinking about how you're going to use these assets post-retirement. Make sure you have a financial plan and an advisor who's proactively working with you. And I think the concept of a legacy meeting was really interesting. I have not done that with my financial advisor. I think I would feed him, though, a script for my for my son. My son, like, this does not mean you do not have to work, my son.
Scripts are good. Scripts are good. Yeah.
Maybe you need to have some matching money before you get any of ours.
Correct.
He doesn't listen. Like, so we'll be safe.
I was just going to add one more thing too. If you're listening to this and you don't have somebody, you know, if you don't have a trusted advisor or a trusted professional, and you'd like to have a conversation with Jim, please reach out, because sometimes just having that that conversation will really motivate you to take the next steps. And we give complimentary consultations all the time. It's what we do. So please don't be shy. Please reach out. You know, we'll have our contact information available, but taking that initial conversation and getting the ball rolling is really the first step. And it's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had some great positive feedback from some of our listeners from the first session who did reach out to you also. Thank you for being so kind and considerate and helpful to those folks. So we'll, you know, keep that going. All right. So we're going to do the rapid fire questions now. I did do fun, the fun with love theme, just because I had to. So I'm going to go first to Jim, and it's just quick. You have to quickly answer.
Absolutely.
Who is the most romantic of the two of you?
Lisa.
So do you smart, agree, isn't
he? Do you agree, Lisa?
It's all right.
Okay. All right. The conversation is going to get progressively more interesting. Lisa.
Yeah.
If your relationship had a theme song, what would it be?
It would be a Rocky's theme song. Gonna fly. That's Jim's favorite song. I mean, yeah. And sometimes I feel like we're like, dun, 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 like, we can do it, Jim. We can do it, Jim.
That's awesome. That's inspirational.
All right, for Jim. So we know, of course, that you work so well together. Curious about other aspects of your life. And which of the following activities do you think you would just nail as a couple? Number one, Jeopardy. Number two, Dancing with the Stars. Or number three, American Ninja Warriors.
American Ninja Warriors. Wow. I can't dance. She can. Jeopardy, we would struggle, right? American Ninja Warriors, we could toughen up and at least represent, I think, there. That would be the best.
Yeah. And for our listeners, I think I kind of felt that one might be the answer you selected. I saw Lisa and I are connected on Facebook, and one day she and Jim are working out. Jim has no idea. He is on the treadmill. He's busted his ass. And Lisa's filming him the whole time. And I'm just cracking up.
It's my favorite thing to do at the gym, by the way.
Life with Lisa.
I catch him and I get in so much trouble later, but it's such great content. Because he's trying so hard.
I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on. And that all of a sudden something's posted. And I'm getting texts and messages. And I don't even know what happened.
You're inspirational, Jim. You're inspirational.
Yes, that's it.
It's basically, she has like the Truman Show. You know that movie? We're all watching Jim. All right. The last question. Other than Valentine's Day, Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, what is your favorite holiday and ways you spend time together? And it can be a self-created holiday to Lisa.
Oh, you mean not my birthday?
Could be your birthday.
I'd say we always spend a week at the Jersey Shore, and it's just our favorite thing to do. And we have family come down, and it's not a day, but it's a week, but it's so special to us. And we're doing it again this year. Actually, we're doing 2 weeks this year, and we love it. And one day we're going to get there for good.
Nice.
So it's definitely the shore. We're both beach and hot people, hot weather people.
Yeah. And which beach town do you go to?
We went to Long Beach Island for the longest time. We would go to Surf City, but recently we've jumped over to Sea Isle.
Okay.
And we love it there too. We have a lot of friends there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Paul and I, our favorite holiday is Eat All Day Day, which is the day after New Year's that we've created. Because we usually have so much food in the house and we just invite people over and just like, it's time to clear out the fridge.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
Yeah. Eat All Day Day. Muge, any favorite holidays you have? I mean, you celebrated three last week.
I celebrated three last week. I would say any holiday that I can celebrate, I will. And that is a lot of diversity there. And I think as a principle, I like to stretch celebrations over a number of days. So to Lisa's point, a week long, a month long, just make an occasion out of it. Yes, very open to all celebrations.
Nice.
Wonderful. Well, I think with that, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for spending the afternoon with us. I know our listeners will benefit from your knowledge and your wisdom, and we so appreciate you guys stopping by.
Oh, this has been so great. And most of all, thanks for just having this conversation. I mean, I really do think a lot of people will benefit from it. And the more we talk about it and the more we engage people, I think the better off people will be, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I am reflecting, and my takeaway is invest in your financial fitness with Jim and Lisa. Take the time.
Get her on the team.
Add
her to the website.
Yes. Invest in your financial fitness with Jim and Lisa. It's like a little financial workout.
Yeah. Be your own financial ninja warrior.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. You two are the best. We love this. I love to listen to your podcast. I recommend it to everyone. Yes. And you just bring so much energy and passion and light. We really, really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.